You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to the Wells Tech Podcast, episode 58. Is there anybody out there for Wednesday, February 11th, 2009? Hi, I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we're your hosts for a weekly conversation about ministry and where that meets technology or vice versa. Good morning, Sally. How are you?
I'm great, Martin. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Really am enjoying the outside temperature today. It's going to be in the 50s, which is just unbelievable for this time of year, given the January that we had.
That's so true. We're having the big meltdown here in Sleepy Eye as well. So yeah, I'll take it. I'm fine with the wet sidewalks.
I was looking at the big ice block yet on my deck, hoping that when I returned this evening that it would be gone and I'd be able to see my deck again, which I haven't initiated yet, so the snow's spent more time on it than I have.
Yeah.
So, the show today, and our longtime listeners noticed that we've begun to title our episodes, and probably not overly informative or descriptive yet until you actually listen to our conversation. Is there anybody out there? We're going to talk about a very popular topic these days called streaming video, and we'll talk about that in a couple perspectives, but I've done a little bit of work with that lately, and Sally, I know you and Kevin and the folks at your congregation are using this on a regular basis, and it's something that our congregations are, if they're not doing, they're certainly talking or thinking about, you think?
Oh, I agree, Martin. And I think one of the main reasons is that the barrier to entry is practically gone now. Mm-hmm. So that's something we'll talk about and it'll come out in our conversation. But we're going to point you to free resources. Basically, what you need is a camera and a computer, and you can be live on the internet. So that's really exciting to see.
But with that come some challenges related to what I would call production, the ability to do it right. You know, you see a lot of video out there. If you go to some of the streaming sites, like, and we're going to talk about some of these too, Ustream or Stickam or those kinds of things, you see all kinds of things being produced out there, some of very questionable quality and others of very high production quality, where people are taking this seriously and thinking of this more as a broadcast that they would see on their television, and some extremely well done. So I guess that would be the challenge for a church or a school is to figure out, first of all, is this something we should be doing? Is there a ministry need or use? Are we trying to fill a niche? Is there an audience out there? And thus the question, is there anybody out there? Because you really don't want to start this just as a hobby and have nobody watch. So there's all kinds of things, all kinds of considerations related to that. So let's maybe start by defining our terms. When we're talking about streaming video, there's a couple varieties. There is obviously a live stream. So in essence, what people are seeing on the internet in their little player, whatever it is that you produce, is what's going on at the event itself, whether that be a worship service or a Bible class or a school play or a musical or whatever it is. Now, it's not, you know, we should probably qualify that too. It's not absolutely real time because the internet has to send this out, encode it, and then ultimately send it down to you. So in many cases, there's a little bit of a delay, 2 or 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, depends on, you know, bandwidth and those kinds of circumstances related to the service provider, but it's basically live. People have to tune in. It's only going to happen once, for instance, and they have to tune in at 8 or 10:30 or whatever the service is to actually watch it. What's the other kind, Sally?
Well, the other kind would be on demand, where we've archived a version of a video and you can go and watch it at any time. Mm-hmm. We do on demand podcasting with this podcast. So we make our recording and make it available on the internet, and we can reference back to it a year later if we want to and listen to it again. So same would be true with your video, that you can put it on a server somewhere on the internet and be able to link to it and have people watch it at any time.
Mm-hmm. So two kinds you have to choose. Actually, you don't have to choose. You can actually do both, right?
That's right.
And that's what you do, isn't that right?
Right. We've done some experimenting with recording at least portions of our live video using some of the providers that we're going to talk about later in the show, so that you can archive a chunk of what you're streaming live as well. Mm-hmm. So you can do both.
Right. So you don't have to choose. But I think you have to, in your own mind, determine is the view worth the climb, so to speak. When you're doing live, you have to determine, do you have a live audience? Are there people that are going to tune in at a particular time and want to feel a part of it that way? Or is on-demand good enough? And on-demand is going to be a little bit easier because you don't have to worry about the bandwidth coming into your facility and some of the babysitting that's necessary to make sure the stream's going out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On-demand can simply be recorded and then encoded and uploaded at your leisure. And the complication factor goes a little bit down that way. So with those two things in mind, first of all, you have to determine what you're going to do. The next thing would be, well, even before that, you have to determine, what are we going to stream? Do we have stuff worthy of streaming? And I would think most congregations should be saying yes. They have the precious Word of God. They have many channels or many opportunities that they're sharing that, and that would be an opportunity to share that with a wider audience. You know, so those people on the internet that may be tuning in, what would they be streaming? What are some of the ministry uses that a congregation could consider?
Well, Martin, you know, I think what you need to do is take a step back and look at what you use your website for and who your audience is. And in this case, that's going to dictate what you can stream. Do you have members that are away, shut-ins, relatives who'd like to view, special services or whatever? Do you have college students that you're trying to stay connected with? Or road warriors, people that are on the road constantly because of their job, but also very active, a member of your community of faith.
Yeah, I think we're seeing more and more of that category, especially as people are taking jobs that are taking them away from the home for whatever reason, or their schedule, just isn't making Sunday morning a good prospect for them. Those, I think, are a growing contingent that maybe sometimes we're forgetting about. Sure.
Absolutely.
And then the big category would be
those that you've never met before.
Right, right.
You know, and you may never meet some of the people. But again, just like you said earlier, we have that precious Word of God, and being able to share it with the world is a privilege. And this opportunity is here for us to take advantage of it.
There are, and in doing some work with this and doing some research on it, there are churches now, not necessarily in Wells circles, although that may not be too far in the future, that have kind of formed with the internet in mind. So they're thinking, do we have an internet ministry? Do we have an audience? Do we have people that maybe would only touch our congregation through the internet? Now, that's a debatable thing about fellowship and the sacraments and all those kinds of things. But when you're thinking about streaming, as you mentioned, we have that Word of God. Why not make it as available to as wide of an audience as possible, especially to these? And you mentioned the prospects. I think studies would bear this out, and they have, that visitors or potential visitors to your congregation are increasingly not inclined to step foot in your church before they get a better understanding of what it's going to be like if they do. They're not going to want to give up their anonymity that easily, so they're going to want to go to your website, and they're going to want to see what it's like. They want a kind of an immersive experience about what it would be like to come into your church and sit through a service. Is it going to be something they're comfortable with? Are they going to be comfortable singing hymns? Or, what's the sermon like? What's the pastor like? And all of that, if it's done well, and we'll go back to the quality, aspect of it, can be done through streaming video.
That's right. And on the other side of the coin, you know, the on-demand side, you certainly could record things for future use, mm-hmm. like Bible classes or confirmation examinations or things like that, things that you can make available for people to watch at another time as well.
Right.
You could certainly put video messages on your website so that when prospects or whomever visits your website, they have a video to watch that helps them be more immersed in what your congregation is like, that kind of thing. And certainly I would think school events you mentioned earlier are a way to use video and to share information, and also just to make your school look more progressive to prospects who are considering your school.
Right. Right. Going back to Bible classes, that's something I've often thought that our congregations are really missing out on, those that aren't recording that, either audio or video. We're challenged, I think most of our congregations are challenged, to increase Bible class attendance. And some of the barriers to that are people, many barriers, I suppose, at least in the minds of people, that, you know, they may be asked a question, they may, they're not quite sure what it's all about. It's obviously a smaller group. What a great way to introduce somebody who is not a typical Bible class goer to the Bible class concept. So if you're providing good stuff in that Bible class and you're recording that, especially via video where you can see and feel the nature of it, and making that available to, and this is kind of in reach, making this available to your members and saying, hey, look at this. You know, there, and especially for those that are a little bit more intrepid about going to one. Just a nice introduction to it. They're being fed with the word and maybe a potential promotional tool to increase Bible class attendance. Very, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be a single camera that's used for that. Just make sure your audio is good and go for it. See what happens.
I think more and more of our members are tech savvy and are also getting involved in online communities and using online resources. So this is going to speak to them because this is very popular and very much the way of the future.
Yep. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, very inexpensive to do at this point. Now, we should qualify that there are production costs, and you want to make sure that you're obviously producing a good quality product, although I don't think you need a professional producer and a broadcast team within your congregation. I think you just need dedicated people and put some decent equipment in their hands. They'll learn how to use it as long as they're passionate about what they're doing, and I think that's a key in any kind of volunteer activity within the church. They'll pick it up. They'll learn. We have lots of people, as you mentioned, that are getting more and more tech savvy and are probably interested in ministries like this, a broadcast or a communications-type ministry. So spend the time and energy to research audio and video options. There are plenty of resources out there on the Internet. We've talked about these. We even have a wiki that's out there that talks about some of the audio and video equipment and ideas that would relate to good quality production. That's at wellstech.wetpaint.com. If you have experience with this, contribute to that and share your knowledge. I think there are a lot of people who are kind of scratching their heads. You know, where do I go from here? What is good audio quality equipment and video quality equipment? So please make use of that. So let's talk about some of the streaming providers, and there are just a ton of them out there. Let's talk about a few of them. What do you use, Sally, there at your
St.
church?
St. John's and Sleepy Eye.
Yes.
We use Ustream.tv, mm-hmm. and we haven't done a lot of experiments with other providers. This is just the one that we started with, and it served our needs. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, when you're streaming with Ustream.tv, you're certainly sending out the live broadcast, but there's a big, huge button for recording as well. So we stream the services, and we record the sermons so that we have that video of the sermon available for posting on our website later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to embed our Ustream into our own website, so we don't have to send them to the Ustream website to see it. We can put it right on our St. John's website, and you can output it to other places as well. You can actually download your recorded video in Flash format. You can easily link it over to YouTube and a lot of other things as well.
Sure.
So we found it to be really easy to get going with Ustream.
Yeah, I know you guys put it on your site. You probably couldn't upload it to YouTube. If Kevin was only preaching 10, if you get him down to 10 minutes, you could put it on YouTube.
There you go.
Or put it in two parts.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think most pastors are going to agree to that. No. So YouTube would not be an option for sermons, but okay. There may be other things that you could use YouTube for. But there are other services out there. Google Video allows more than 10 minutes and a few other things. Those of you that are using Final Hub, just post it to your site, just like you're doing, Sally. I think there's great ways to do that. Any of these streaming sites that you can record to will do, or many of them will allow you to stream whatever length it is that you have in kind of a loop. Mogulus is one of those that I was doing a little bit of research on and really found to be a great tool. And again, most of these are free. Mogulus has a free and a paid-for service. And if you go to – actually, as an example, if you go to Mogulus, that's M-O-G – it's M-O-G-U-L-U-S. I have to check that.
That's what I think.
.com. / Wells CTO, you can see just a loop that I put together of my favorite YouTube videos. So it allows you to suck those in. It'll encode them or transcode them, and then you can put them in what's called a playlist and have that loop over and over and over again. So you could have a live channel on your site, and you can embed this. So and embedding has some advantages because you get rid of all the ads. If you go to mogulus.wells/wellcto, you're going to see ads that are going to pop up. But if you embed this in your site, you get rid of the ads. You just have a little Mogulus icon in the upper right. There's all kinds of things you can do with that. You can watermark it so you can have your little church logo in the upper right. Or wherever it is that you want. You can have a ticker running down at the bottom, a message. You know, if you want more information, email so-and-so or go to our website, those kinds of things. All kinds of things that you can do with this. It's really a production studio. When it's all online, there's nothing to download. You just have to get used to the interface. And there's almost nothing that you can't do with services like this. So Mogulus would be let me double-check that while we're talking here, Sally. I don't want to lead our listeners astray. It's I think it's M-O-G-O.
It's that creative internet spelling scheme.
Yeah, M-O-G-U-L-U-S. I have no idea what it stands for, but it is a, I think, great, an awesome site. Now, all of these are going to have questionable content throughout. So you're going to have, when I say questionable, I mean, you know, typically what a Christian would want to mark and avoid, you know, things that are not necessarily in line with God's will or word. So you have to understand that going in. But part of the appeal of embedding this is you can isolate or insulate yourself from all of that. A couple other services that we can mention. One is called Zap Live. I think it's zaplive.tv. That is the one that the Synod has switched to. We used to use a paid-for service because none of the smaller ones that at the time, this is 2 years ago when we, or 3 years ago when we started doing this, could really support it, and we couldn't get rid of the ads, and it wasn't just a great experience. So we were paying, I forget what it was, $350 a month, something like that, just for the privilege of being able to stream. We've been able to dump that now and go to a free service, which obviously is a great savings, and the quality has not decreased, and in many respects, they're easier to use. It's all web-based. I think you have to enable Flash to do this, but in essence, the whole player, and I think Ustream's the same way, right, Sally? You just basically go to their website and click the buttons, and away you go.
That's right.
Recognizes
your camera. Hooked up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. A couple others are Stickam, STICKAM, Kite, KYTE. And there's just a whole host of others. But those are the ones that we're most familiar with, and they seem to be pretty good at what they do, and fairly they all kind of work with a similar concept. They all have their pluses and minuses. But if your congregation is interested in testing the waters, once you've got good audio and video, I think the broadcast part's pretty easy, very easy. Mm-hmm. So we talked about format. Let's talk about formats a little bit, Sally.
And you mentioned already that most everything is Flash and easily embeddable on our sites. Some of them actually provide a side chat.
Right.
So that the people that are watching the live stream can have a side conversation basically about the live stream. And that would be actually on the website, ustream.tv or whatever website you're using. I don't think that's embeddable in your own website. But there's
easy
ways.
Yeah, Mogulus does. There's a link. Once you embed it, there's a link for chat. So
okay.
A little chat window would pop up. I don't know about the other ones, but I'm wondering, you know, the usefulness of that. But I think there may be some, especially in Bible class settings, those kinds of things, that it might be interesting. The reason that all these services have, like chat and share, you know, a lot of them you can share with a friend, is because most of them grew up around a social networking concept. So you're sharing videos and you're getting people to join your network, and you know, it's kind of this online community thing. So that's just, you know, just go in knowing that that's kind of what's behind the what they're doing and how they've set these things up and what they, how they grew up. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk then as we close our conversation here about just some things to, let's say, keep in mind as we're putting these things together. And we've talked a lot about where to put archive video. We've talked about, you know, putting it on the service itself. We've talked about, you know, putting it on your site. A lot of people I've talked about YouTube. People have heard about GodTube as another example. I read an article recently that GodTube viewership has gone way down, and I think some churches are recognizing that to put your stuff on GodTube is really kind of hiding your light under a bushel, as it were, because who's going to GodTube? It's really a Christian audience, and who do you really want to reach out to? It's probably, in many cases, the prospect crowd is a non-Christian audience. So even though you're sitting out there amongst all the other stuff on YouTube or Google Video, that's where the audience might be that you're looking to reach.
Right. And I think you have to consider your storage limitations when you're working with video files. They are very large files.
Right.
So if you're posting them on your own site, then you may end up having to go into a rotation where you have to take some off to put new things on. And using some of these external sites might allow you to post more or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, or maybe you post it in both places. Who knows? But just, you know, those kind of logistical type considerations, and I guess it shouldn't be a barrier for you. I'd just encourage people to try something and see how it's working for you, and then you can always tweak it and make changes and improve upon it. But lots of options there for you to store your video files.
Yep. We talked a couple weeks ago about closed captioning. That would be another consideration. So if you're interested in reaching a wider, an even wider audience, consider closed captioning. A lot of work. We've got a wiki page for that as well. John Shoesmith came on the show and talked about what he's doing there. Keep in mind that cross-promotion is important, that if you want people to view it, they have to know what's out there. They're really not just going to stumble on it. Some people might, but make sure you're advertising it to your members and make sure your members are sharing that with people that they know. Obviously, your members are your evangelism team, as it were, and those are the people that need to know that these tools are available. And then another thing that we've talked about in the past is copyright. And that's, I assume, Sally, one of the reasons that when you're archiving this, you're really only archiving the sermon?
That's correct. You don't want to archive any of the hymns or that kind of thing that are copywritten. So you want to be careful to just stream those things, because it's okay to have people watch it live, just as if they were sitting in your congregation. It's okay for them to participate, you know, on those copywritten materials. But when you start archiving things, you want to make sure that you aren't keeping copies of that copywritten material.
Right. And then last but not least, the question of the day, is there anybody out there? Make sure you constantly evaluate, is this an effective ministry? And you have to define effective. Is it worth the time, energy, money to play this, to do this for an audience of 1 or 10 or 100? You have to determine what makes it worthwhile for you. Or do you sink that time, energy in different, you know, in different things? So constantly ask the question, is there anybody out there? And typically all of these tools that we've talked about have ways for you to monitor traffic, how many people are viewing it at a given time. In fact, most of them have it right on the player. I think you can turn it off, but you can turn it on and see how many viewers are viewing at any one time. And that's a great thing to do. Make sure you're not just blindly going forward with no audio, nobody watching on a, you know, your stuff. So I think that could be informative. And if nobody's watching, maybe there's things that you can do about that. Yeah, maybe it's a marketing thing or promotion thing. Maybe it's a content thing. But great questions to ask.
Right. And just So, you know, Martin, the most popular thing we've done so far, according to the stats on the website, has been our confirmation examination service. Mm. So those family members really want to watch their confirmands in that examination service. So if you're looking for a place to start, maybe get geared up for the spring and your confirmation and promote it, and I bet you'll have really good viewership.
That'd be cool. You've got a built-in audience, right? Grandma and grandpa, those people that can't be there. I think that's great. Wonderful. And a great testament or testimony of what's important,
sure.
You know, that our young children are understanding what God's word has to say to them and their part in God's kingdom. Very mm-hmm. cool. Well, Sally, we blathered on for, 20-some-odd minutes here. I think we will skip the interview. We've got an interview in the can. I think you'll enjoy this with Darren Lindemann, pastor at Grace Lutheran Church, downtown Milwaukee, where he's talking about Message from the Master. We'll save that till next week, and we'll play a very interesting conversation we had with Darren about his ministry there with Message from the Master, which is a radio show and now an associated website. So tune in next week for that. Let's jump down then to our picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick this week?
Well, this week, Martin, I'm going to point our listeners to a website, mediafamily.org. And this website is set up by David Walsh. I was privileged, and I'm sure many of our listeners as well, to hear David Walsh speak at an EduTech conference mm-hmm. a few years
Great
ago.
Speaker,
and
yeah.
he is a really awesome speaker. He's done a lot of research on the effect of media on developing minds in children. And he has an awesome website. And on it, what he's done is publish a lot of materials for parents to help educate parents about technology and media usage. You know, so how much is too much with video games, or what video games are appropriate for young children, or that kind of thing. I found a great resource page there, the Parents Guides, and he has parents guides on all kinds of topics like emerging technology, social networking, cell phone usage, YouTube, MySpace. He's got it all out there. And it's very well done. What I found as I was looking at some of his materials is it's very balanced. The family media network that he runs, they don't say, avoid all media. That isn't their message. It's more how can you use it constructively, and how much is too much? You know, what are warning signs and danger signs to potential problems? So I think you'll be impressed with his materials. I thought about ministry applications. You know, if you're dealing with some of these issues in your ministry or counseling sessions, maybe some of these resources available at mediafamily.org would be good to look at together. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to include a link to that. I will tell you that registration is required. If you want to get to any of the meat of the material on the website, you're going to have to create an account. They want to know who you are and keep track of that and everything. But mm-hmm. I think it's worth it, and you'll be impressed with a lot of the documents and things that they have available there. Again, it's mediafamily.org, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Great, great pick, Sally. The recent stuff going on with Facebook, and I'm sure all of our listeners in some way, shape, or form, even though it happened right here in Milwaukee, about the masquerading Facebook student and some of the things that he was doing on Facebook, have it's kind of spiked the interest in internet safety kinds of concepts and presentations. I had a request for anything that we had for internet safety, and this would be a great site, I would assume, to begin a conversation. Parents' guides to all those kinds of things, the use of social networks and MySpace and Facebook. And I think parents are kind of shaken up over how easy this happened. And this is a great resource to kind of get this back in kind of the spotlight and help our students and kids use this thing called the internet in a safe way.
Right. We want them to have discerning hearts, and mm-hmm. and we want to help them grow in that, and not just close them off from it so that when they do get access, they go wild out there.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I saw, just as a little side note, I saw a little application pop up that will restrict your use of Facebook. So if you're so undisciplined during the work during the workday or in the evening or whatever, you can load this little application and say what sites and the frequency that you want or don't want to visit them in. So if you want the screen to prevent you from going to Facebook more than once an hour, you can load this application. It'll stop you. So it's interesting how this thing called the internet and the web and all these social networks can consume our time, that we've got to create applications that prevent ourselves from using them. Really, that's not my pick, but I thought that a testament to where
right.
where things are in the world today and in our own lives. So if it works, you know, use it. My pick was kind of an epiphany for me for over a year, probably since we started this podcast, even before that. I had been a real big fan of Delicious and this plug-in that Delicious has made available for Internet Explorer and for Firefox that allows you to surface your Delicious tags or bookmarks to your browser so that you've always got these regardless of where you go. Whatever browser you're using, whether you're using your computer or somebody else's, you've got these things always at your disposal. I came across something the other day that I think is better. And I had not been aware of this, and somebody brought it to my attention. And I'd have to say, in playing with it for a few days now, that I think it's better. And that's called foxmarks.com. And it's basically the same concept. It's a browser plugin that allows syncing of bookmarks. The reason that I like it a little bit better than Delicious is it also syncs your passwords. You know, when you're in your browser, it'll ask you, do you want me to remember this password for you? And I will use Firefox does a great job of that because you can actually go back into Firefox and see them all. So it basically is a password memorizer, and all the passwords that I've got, that's a wonderful tool so that the next time you come to the site, it remembers it and you don't have to type it in. Well, Foxmarks does that. It syncs both the bookmarks and the passwords across browsers seamlessly. So it's cross, and it's cross browser and cross platform. This was just released. It used to, just by the title, you can tell it was probably a Firefox extension to start with. Now they've extended to Internet Explorer and Safari, and they've made it cross platform. It's really lightweight, and basically it just works. It's not as social as Delicious is. Delicious is kind of a social bookmarking site, although you can share these via an RSS feed if you wanted to do that. But for cross-browser, cross-platform bookmark sharing, at least with all the systems that you use, this is really a great application. Foxmarks.com. You ever heard of that, Sally?
I haven't, Martin. I'm going to have to give it a try, but I can totally agree with you that it's really nice when it remembers your password. And gosh, do you have any guess of how many passwords you have to remember these days?
I can pull up my password save thing, and it's probably 100, 100, 150. Oh, I don't know what it is.
Just boggles the mind. And again, I think we've said this before, it's something that you really have to take ownership of and responsibility for. You got to pony up to the bar and own, you know, managing your passwords somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And if this makes it easier, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, and we've said in the past, you really don't want to have just one password, because if that's compromised, then they have the keys to your entire digital world, which would include your banking site, your, if you use online banking, all of your, you know, all of the sites that you go to that you probably would prefer somebody not to, to hack into. So foxmarks.com, I think it's worth a look. And it's been around a while, so it's been tested, and a lot of people apparently use it. And I'm enjoying it. I think it works great. So what are we going to recommend that our listeners be aware of in the Wells world, Sally? What are we going to promote today?
I wanted to make mention of the upcoming Wells International Youth Rally, and you can get all the details at wellsyouthrally.net. The theme this year is Follow the Path and Lead the Way, and it's going to be July 8th through 11th and being held in Ames, Iowa. And the Youth Rally is set up for students completing 8th through 12th grade this spring, so pretty wide variety of age group there. And what is important is that it's almost time for online registration. Online registration begins on March 2nd, and I think of all of our different conferences and things, this one probably fills up the fastest.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have 2,600 spots, and that sounds like a lot, but if you aren't available and getting registered fairly early in March, you're going to miss out on this one.
Yeah.
So I actually went through the packet of information for our youth group here in Sleepy Eye, and they have it laid out so well, tell you exactly what to do and how to lead up to it and what information you're going to need to get registered beginning on March 2nd. And what you're going to need is a $50 deposit from each person who's planning to go, because you have to pay up front that $50 deposit to ensure that your spot is saved. And so you need to be having meetings now within your congregation and organizing your youth group if you plan to attend this event, because mm-hmm. when March 2nd hits, the online registration, like I said, it's going to fill up fast.
Yep.
So I encourage you to check it out. It's at wellsyouthrally.net.
My youngest daughter is really excited about this. She's a freshman or a Sextoner at Luther Prep in Watertown, and she was really concerned because my oldest daughter is getting married this summer, the Sunday after that week, and we were really struggling with, is this going to work? Because my youngest daughter is a personal attendant for my oldest daughter, and wondering if she'd be back in time and the ride situation. And it's all coming together, and now she's just really excited to go out there. My oldest daughter, who's getting married this summer, went to this youth rally when it was at Ames the last time, and this was probably 4 or 6 years ago. I don't remember. It's at Iowa State. Just a great venue. They're kind of secluded out there. It's in the middle of cornfields, as you can imagine. I can remember driving to pick her up through dirt roads. We got just hopelessly lost, and our vehicle was just covered with dust trying to get out there. But she had a great time, and I'm sure everybody, did you say 2,600, will have a great time as well. It's really well done, and it's kind of the highlight of youth discipleship's world. And like you said, it does fill up fast, so make sure you get that on the calendar.
Sounds like they just kind of own that college campus.
Oh, yeah.
And take over everything. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I have an eighth grader this year who's planning to go.
Oh,
so we're
awesome.
Looking forward to it. Yep.
Yeah. Community feedback. Who's talking to us this week?
Well, we had some great feedback. First of all, we heard from Steve Brown. Steve is a member of Messiah in South Windsor, Connecticut, and he's also a blogger. His blog is Worship Ideas You Can Use. We actually have a link to it in our sidebar on the Wells Tech show notes page. And Steve wrote us because he was really excited about our last show, Martin. If you remember, we talked about Everybody is a Media mm-hmm. Outlet, Clay Shirky's book, and how blogging and Web 2.0 tools have given everyone the ability to self-publish.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve's a great example of that. He's been publishing his blog for a while now. And what he wrote to share with us is the fact that he's had visitors from 98 different countries
wow.
come to his blog.
Awesome.
He found a way to check all that out through his stats programs, and he's just really encouraged by the reach and the feedback that he's gotten on his publishing, and it's just really neat to see someone who has a heart for the ministry, having that kind of success with their blog.
Great. Great for you, Steve. Thanks for sharing that, too.
Yeah. We also heard from a couple of other Wells Tech friends. First, we heard from Laurie Taylor, who's a member of Grace in Yorba Linda, California. And Laurie's also one of our Facebook group members. And she wrote to us on Facebook just encouraging us, saying how much she's enjoyed the podcast and that kind of thing. But also specifically how excited she was to listen to the show about closed captioning. She's got some family members that have hearing loss, and she felt like that was something that could really help them. So she was really encouraged by the ideas that we shared on that show. And kudos to John Shoesmith out at Redeemer in Yakima for his work in that area.
Great.
And then finally, we heard from Karen Zastro. Karen, I referred to Karen in our last show when we were talking about self-publishing and letting your light shine through your blogging and that kind of thing. But I didn't call her out by name. Karen does a blog called Paper Delights, and she's my rubber stamping blogging buddy who I was talking about in the last show. And she actually posted a little bit about our podcast after she listened to it and listened to my comments and things. And so we'll have a link in our show notes to Karen's blog. Karen's a member of Zoom Crippline Christie in Iron Ridge, Wisconsin.
Zoom Crippline Christie.
Sorry.
ZCC. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's not too far from where I live. So thanks, Karen. You've been called out. So good job, Sally.
Yes.
All right. Last thing under the community feedback section. Want to let everybody know that there is another way to communicate with us or for you to hear us, and that's through Twitter. We've talked a little bit about Twitter in the past. Just want to make sure everybody is aware that Sally and I both have Twitter accounts, and we use it sometimes frequently, sometimes infrequently, but I think we're going to make a commitment you know, to doing that, if we can get our Wells Tech listeners communicating over Twitter. Twitter.com, for those of you that don't know, is a micro-blogging application that's kind of just exploded, became a centerpiece of sorts for the campaign, the Barack Obama campaign, that he had a Twitter account, had some 250,000 visitors or subscribers, or what they call followers on Twitter. I don't have near that many. Maybe Sally, you do. But if you'd like to follow us, our Twitter account names, mine is very creative, M. Spriggs. That's M-S-P-R-I-G-G-S. Sally, yours is a little bit more creative, which is?
Mine is Wells Tech Trainer.
Wells Tech Trainer.
W-E-L-S Tech Trainer.
Right. Yep. So if you want to follow us, you can do so, and we'd be happy to follow you if you let us know who you are. And one way to let us know who you are is using the hashtag. We're gonna encourage all of our listeners to let us know that they're Twitterers by sending a message with the hashtag pound Wells Tech. That's the number sign WELSTECH. And what Twitter allows you to do is to aggregate those, and we can basically carry on a conversation. If somewhere in your message you just include pound Wells Tech in your Twitter, and we'll actually feed those into the Wells Tech podcast show notes page, so we can kind of see the running Twitter conversation about Wells Tech. So all of you Twitter users and are also Wells Tech listeners, stop what you're doing and get out your Twitter tool, whatever it is, if it's your phone or your website, and send a message. Let us know you're a Twitter user, and make sure you include pound Wells Tech, and we'll put all those together, and we'll see what we get. See how many. Maybe we don't have any Twitter users on the Wells Tech podcast, in the Wells Tech podcast army, but I doubt that. I bet we have some people that are using Twitter out there. So
yeah, I think we do, actually. I think we already have some followers. Awesome. that are Twitter users.
Send us a Twitter message and follow us if you so choose. Coming up next week on Wells Tech is a conversation that's very timely, I think, for our times. And we're going to talk next week, Sally, about technology for tough economic times, some ways that you can save, some ways that will save you both some time and hopefully some money. So tune in next week. And as I mentioned, we'll also play our interview with Pastor Darren Lindemann about Message from the Master. Again, we appreciate everybody's ears that they're listening to us. Spread the word and tune in next week for more talk about technology and where that intersects ministry. Hopefully we share some good things with you, and we'd love to hear from you as well. Let's close the show, Sally, as we always do, with beautiful music from one of our talented Wells musicians, this time the music of Michael Schrader from his album The Way. His song, Forgiveness is Grace. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you next week.
They were mostly happy years with the family in place. But then came a calling, and somehow she strayed. It took him years to forgive what he lost. He would find the way at the foot of the cross. And he said, let him without sin cast the first stone. Let the power of love carry you home. Cause for each of my sins, in this life he would pay. Yeah, the one thing he taught me is forgiveness is a grace. Evening when the headlights came, and a drunken driver well crossed in her lane. And one single moment, her child was gone. It took a greater love to show her how to go on. And she said, let him without sin cast the first stone. Let the power of love carry you home. Cause for each of my sins, with his life he would pay. Yeah, the one thing he taught me is forgiveness is a grace. out says, forgive others as I forgive you. But if you won't forgive, well, can he forgive you? Well, I wanna be forgiven, I wanna be with you. So I'll pray for your strength, and I'll pray for your grace, well, and I'll pray for your love, it is carrying me through. He was more than a boy, became a fine young man. He never did anyone wrong, and God had this plan for his children held ransom, his son he'd exchange. And as he died on that cross for the sins of me and you, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So let him without sin cast the first stone. Let the power of love carry you home. Cause for each of my sins, in this life he would pay. Yeah, the one thing he taught me, yeah, the one thing he showed me, for him I remember. Yeah, the one thing he taught me is forgiveness is a grace.